Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 8. Lord Krishna shows the universal form, text 26. Kalena Pena Rajashe Ramakrishnascha Gokule Agrishta Janupi Padbira Vichakramatur Anjasa. So here, Kalena Alpena. Within a very short time. Rajarshe. O King Maharaj Parikshit. Ramakrishna. Cha. Both Rama and Krishna. Gokule. In the village of Gokula. Agrishta Janubi. Without the help of crawling on their knees. Padvi. By their legs alone. Vichakramatu. Began to walk. Anjasa. Very easily. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O King Parikshit, within a very short time, both Ram and Krishna began to walk very easily in Gokula on their legs, by their own strength, without the need to crawl. Purport, instead of crawling with their knees, the babies could now stand up by holding on to something and walk little by little, without difficulty, by the strength of their legs. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthavute Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatundeve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskyatyade Siddharan. Generally, we're used to having the speaker give a philosophical analysis of whatever is being presented. But actually, for the most part in the 10th canto, that would not be very, well, that's not even possible. How do you give a philosophical analysis of Rama and Krishna walking in Gokula on their legs with their own strength without the need to crawl? Can anyone give a philosophical explanation of that? So these pastimes are meant for liberated souls. Liberated souls means their minds are liberated. They don't have to analyze it. Because when they hear it, they're actually there, witnessing it in ecstasy. And therefore, if you're in love with someone, you don't usually have to analyze them so much. If someone has red hair, you don't spend 3 years giving a philosophical discourse on red hair. You just appreciate that they have red hair, whatever. So similarly, 10th canto is all about Krishna. Krishna is sufficient. If Krishna says, one who understands me is said to be the knower of everything. So we don't really have to know more than Krishna. And Rama is also an expansion of Krishna, plenary expansion, so. What we should be able to do is, after hearing this, we should be able to repeat it. That means we actually heard it. In other words, to try to even, the other verses, try to explain them when we haven't even heard, we haven't paid enough attention to even remember what we heard, means that the speaker stands up or sits here, and he gives or she gives a philosophical discourse, and no one knows what he's talking about, because they don't know what it's referring to. And at the end of the class, everyone walks away and says, "Huh, it's time for prasadam at least." That was a difficult one. On the other hand, the whole idea of all our philosophy is to teach us how to focus our attention and then give our love to Krishna. So first of all, liberation means the ability to focus our attention on something, on anything. Generally, our minds are being tossed around by everything we see, smell, hear, taste, and touch. It just reminds us of innumerable tastes, smells, touches that we've had in the past. And our mind just revolves around infinite remembrances, consciously or unconsciously, from the past. And therefore, there's no question of paying attention to anything. In other words, the conditioned soul in the material world is more or less sleepwalking. Because we're not really paying attention to anything. Anything in particular. And therefore, when we try to concentrate our minds, it's very painful at first, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Does anyone know the verse? Yad Agre. Yes? In English. Okay, in English. Bitter. Yad Tad Agre Vishamiva. Visham is actually poison. Yes. You mean that which in the beginning is poisonous is in the mode of goodness. Strange philosophy. Yad tad agre vishami va parinami ritopamam amrita. Yet taragre vishami va parinam ritopamam tatsukam saptikam progdam atmabuddhi prasadacham. That which in the beginning is bitter like poison, in the end is like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization, said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. Atmajam. So atmajam means to awaken the soul, the soul becomes born. Jam. So, to concentrate our minds is quite painful because we're being pushed by the illusory energy in a different direction. As soon as Maya sees we're trying to make progress in concentrating our mind, we could say, then immediately she tries to distract us by so many allurements. It's called Yogas Chalati Manasa. As soon as Maya sees we're trying to, we could say, make spiritual advancement, but even trying to concentrate our minds on something, Maya will try to distract us. So therefore, we have to learn how to discipline the mind. Like, for instance, without looking at your notebooks, or your whatever, can anyone repeat the verse I just read? Or just tell me what the verse was about? Well, raise your hands, because otherwise we have everyone shouting. We'll start with Mukunda. Yes, that's true. Lalita Govinda? We'll ask her for Timur. What was your understanding? Okay, anyone else can add anything to it? Yes, good. It doesn't mention Goku, but it does say in the verse Goku. In the translation, it doesn't. I'll read it. O King Parikshit. So who's talking here? Adela. Who's talking? What's that? Yes. See, a little help from your friends. Sukadeva Goswami's talking to Maharaj Parikshit. Within a very short time, what's the word for time? What's that? Kalena. And a short time? Alpena. Yeah, Alpena. Both Rama and Krishna began to walk very easily in Gokula on their legs by their own strength without the need to crawl. So, what's being described here? Raja Sundari Radha? And what's significant about their walking? We have that example here all the time. What's that little... what's that little... Amal. Amal. We personally witness it over the course of a couple of years. We have this other little boy. What's his name? The Indian boy. What? His name is Vidura. What's that? Arunaksha. We see him going through the same thing. So, what does it say in the verse here about how did Rama and Krishna walk? Let me read it again. O King Parikshit, within a very short time, both Rama and Krishna began to walk very easily in Gokul on their legs by their own strength without the need to crawl. In other words, we can see just Amal, is that his name? Amal? Amal and Arundaksha. So Amal now, for a while there, for a year, actually a couple of years, he was like trying to walk. He was really getting frustrated, trying to walk. What's that? He was trying to walk, and he'd always hang on to the railing there of the altar, trying to get things. Because the whole reason they want to walk is they can grab something . And now he's running. Now he's running around to our detriment sometimes. Now he's running around exploring everything, including he's wanted to be the pujari here a couple of times. Arundaksha, he's also doing the same thing, trying to crawl up on the rail to get the ghee lamp probably throw it somewhere. And he gets frustrated because his mother's taking it away from him all the time. So, he can stand up with the help of the railing, but he can't really walk on his legs. But one day, we'll see him running around here, chasing after Amal. Or Amal chasing after him. So Rama and Krishna, this is a development in their the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they're playing the part of children. Not only are they playing the part of the children, but they actually think they're children. They don't think, well, this is just a part I'm playing. They're actually experiencing childhood. And now they can run around on their own legs. And it only took a short period of time. Krishna learns, and Rama, they learn quite quickly. Text 27. Thereafter, Tatas, Lord Krishna, along with Balaram, began to play with the other children of the coward men, thus awakening the transcendental bliss of the coward women. So it doesn't take much to make these people happy. That Rama and Krishna themselves, they're the source of unlimited happiness, and therefore just watching them, one gets unlimited happiness. They don't need a movie, they don't have to go to a show, they don't need any, they just need Rama and Krishna, and they're completely happy. So we can't imagine that, because nothing makes us happy in this world, practically speaking, for a long period of time. What to speak of eternally, Rama and Krishna. But it's possible to experience that if we just meditate on these coward ladies watching Rama and Krishna playing with the other children. In other words, there's nothing more purifying to the mind than just trying to envision Krishna playing with the other children and the coward women enjoying it, enjoying, it says transcendental bliss. And the word here is mudam. Janayan mudam. Just try to, even more ecstatic than just experiencing Krishna's and Balaram's playing with the children ourselves. Here it mentions that if we try to experience the happiness that these coward women are experiencing, we'll get even more happiness from that. Because that includes Rama and Krishna and the coward boys and everyone else in their happiness. And we can understand that just by I'm not saying that we're concocting it because this is bona fide scripture. If we imagine Shukadeva Goswami speaking to Pariksha Maharaj, and in the heart of Pariksha Maharaj and Shukadeva Goswami is appearing Rama and Krishna playing with these boys, and they're experiencing the happiness of the coward women who are experiencing the bliss by watching Rama and Krishna playing with the coward boys, then we get even more bliss. Come to the stage, the banks of the Ganges, Shukadeva Goswami's talking to Pariksha Maharaj about this, and they're experiencing these varieties of rasa. The coward women, parental rasa, the coward boys, paternal sakya rasa, friendship. And this is how we actually purify our minds. Now, of course, if we practice chanting japa without offense, it's much more likely our minds will be prepared to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. On the other hand, if we hear Srimad Bhagavatam with rapt attention, and rapt attention obviously means that we pay attention, at least, but to speak of rapt attention, then our minds become somewhat purified. There can't be anything more purifying than think of Rama and Krishna, because they're the source of ecstatic bliss. And it's that ecstatic bliss, when we're present in ecstatic bliss, then Maya goes away. Our illusion goes away. And Rama, Krishna, they burn away the impurities in our minds. So we can actually see with our experience with our transcendental senses, rather than being covered. So it's the means and the goal, but then we have to pay attention. Without paying attention. And attention is a product of the intelligence. And intelligence and determination go together. So intelligence and determination allow the mind to become filled up with these thoughts. And when our minds are filled up with these thoughts, then we experience with our mind and senses transcendental ecstasy. The soul experiences ecstasy, which purifies the mind and the senses and the intelligence and eliminates the false ego so that we can actually perceive reality much more closely. So there's nothing better than hearing these pastimes, but we have to hear them properly. One way is that we have to at least recognize that this is reality. If we think it's just an ordinary story about two coward boys, Krishna and Balaram, then we're never going to really give it the thought, thinking, and what to speak of the feeling. One time Prabhupada was asked about how to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. So Prabhupada said you should chant with attention and then try to feel Krishna's presence. In other words, if we remember these stories, just hearing them is not sufficient. For instance, the first line we read was what? What was the first sentence we read? The previous verse. What was happening? What's that? No. They were past that stage already. What was going? What were they doing? What was? They were walking, but how were they walking? Yes, with their own strength. They didn't have to crawl anymore. So we have to see Krishna and Balaram. Now they can actually walk. They don't have to crawl anymore by their own strength. And how long did it take? Yes, very good. After a short time, Krishna Balaram began to walk in Goloka Vrindavan, Gokula Vrindavan, by their own strength without having to crawl anymore. So you can repeat that again and again until we see Krishna and Balaram. And then we see them walking. That's all. That's all you have to do to become a great devotee. Or even a devotee. It doesn't require anything else except for that. And then what's the second paragraph? The second line? What's happening in the second line? Oh, yeah, it's cheating. Yeah, cheating. What are you keeping up there for? Okay. Anyone knows what happens in the second line? Yes, they begin to play with the other children. And what else goes on there? Yes, the coward women are experiencing ecstasy. So how many of us experiencing ecstasy listening to this? We're supposed to. Is it impossible? Did the gopis have to physically, for instance, in the gopis, they were remembering how, for instance, when Krishna played his flute, the sound of the flute became so sweet to hear that the aquatic birds, like the ducks, the cranes, and the swans, stopped swimming and flying and closed their eyes in meditation and worship of Krishna. So the gopis had to be there watching everything. Or just by hearing about that, they were in bliss. They were experiencing the bliss of the birds, the cranes, the ducks, and the swans, hearing the sound of Krishna's flute, along with the sound of the bumblebees. So they were in ecstasy. So we can also be in ecstasy, or at least taste some happiness by doing that. Just like if we're chanting Hare Krishna, trying to pay attention, then the first thing is that if we're actually paying attention, we can hear the Hare Krishna mantra, then there's nothing to be in anxiety, we're not in anxiety anymore. Anxiety, why are we in anxiety? Does anyone know why we're in anxiety? Since we've had some experience, we've been here since time immemorial, we might as well find out why we're in anxiety all the time. Does anyone know? What's that? And what is the mind doing? What's that? Goes all around, that's all right. If you're in Goloka Vrindavan, it goes all around, it would be fine. But what does it do? What are the two occupations of the mind? What's that? Yeah, hankering, lamenting. We're hankering for the future and lamenting about the past. Anyone ever experienced that? If only I could go back in my time machine, I could be perfect now. And hopefully I'll have a perfect material existence in the future by all my plans. So the mind is always thinking about the past, lamenting it could have been better. And hoping, hankering for the future, hoping it will be better. So what's the one thing the mind doesn't do? Well, some people's minds don't think about it. We're never in the present. We're never here. We're always someplace else. Looking at the clock. We look at the clock more than the deities. Or we think about the clock more than the deities. Therefore, we never pay attention. Even when we hear about Krishna, we don't pay attention. because we don't, so we have to take it more seriously. And the only way to do that is by hearing with some attention, try to pay attention. And the only way we know if we're paying attention is we read something and then we close the book and see if we remember it. If we don't remember it, then how did we pay attention? And then we have to open it up and read it again. Otherwise, what's the benefit of reading it? Then we're like Rahu. You know Rahu? You've heard of Rahu? The planet Rahu? So Rahu doesn't have a body, so whatever he eats, everything falls out. So hearing about Krishna, but it all falls out. But we're just proud that we heard about Krishna today. I was tortured by the class, hankering for the prasadam. And at the end of class, I think, what was that all about? I got through another one. So we have to pay some attention, and hopefully we can digest a little bit so it becomes part of our memory. Actually, memory, as other things, has a component of digestion. Memory is actually kapha. What we're hearing is actually pitta. Or actually what we're hearing is vata through sound. And by the strength of pitta, by the strength of our mental digestion, we can actually digest and remember it, put into memory what we've heard, if we use our intelligence to digest what we're hearing, assimilate what we're hearing. Now, if our tejas, if our fire of attention is not very great, then we have to utilize whatever we have. And then try to digest what we're hearing. Take it seriously. And if not, then we have to just go back and hear it again. And then finally, we'll be able to see, as like a movie within our heart, we'll see Krishna and Balaram standing up, and then we'll see them playing with the coward boyfriends, and we'll see the coward ladies, being ecstatic, just watching Krishna and Balaram play with their boyfriends. And we'll be able to experience what it means to be in transcendence. Because that's all the gopis do. That's all the residents of Vrindavan do. That's all they do. The problem is that we do so many other things too. So at least when we have time to do it, then we should just do that. And I think, well, I got so many other things to do. But as Prabhupada writes, that one, actually good management in our lives is that one should organize one's life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours a day, one cannot help but think about Krishna. And the Lord's promise is that by doing that, we'll go back to Him. That's all we have to do. But we have so many other things to do. That's all right, but we should do them so that eventually we develop it. We should do them following the instructions of what we heard so that we develop a taste for hearing. Because if we follow the instructions of what we hear and put them into practical action, also that's living in transcendence too. It's as good as hearing about Radha and Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? We have three elements, vata, pitta, and kapha. Kapha is where everything's stored, like fat and things. So in the subtle platform, kapha is where memory is stored. But what we're hearing generally, if we're trying through the process of hearing, that's conveyed by vata, sound vibration. But it's pitta, the fire, that digests the sound so we can assimilate it into kapha, into our memory.
So kapha is storage, hearing is vata, and attention is fire.
Yes, assimilation, the power to assimilate what we're hearing, digest it. Therefore, we have to pay attention, kind of capture what we're hearing, and then try to assimilate, try to utilize our tejas. Tejas is illuminating. So it illuminates what we're hearing. May make it into a picture, We may be able to smell it, or touch it, or hear it, smell it, touch it, see it. So Tejas is the power that illuminates, that allows our transcendental senses to experience these transcendental sound vibrations. Which conveyed by air, which is vata. Transcendental vata. Okay. Kvala Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.